kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Us to share on faith, and on Tuesday, Lord willing, we'll go back into our teaching in Ephesians. But today I want to share a message in faith, and we're calling our teaching today All the Way with Faith. All the Way with Faith, because that is what discipleship is. That is what you have to settle. That is what you have to sit down and think and work out before you take up your cross, before you put your hands to the plough. This is the requirement of discipleship. And it's nothing that we have invented. It is in the Word of God. It's in His Word what He requires of us. And God in His infinite wisdom never gets it wrong. Remember that everything God calls us to and for cannot be done in the natural. This walk of faith has to extend beyond the physical, beyond the flesh. It is called walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. And it's those who worship God in spirit and in truth are those who begin to understand that this cannot be achieved in itself. And that is what you have to sit down and consider when you put that hand to the plough, that you take your cross up daily and follow the Lord, that this is a supernatural life and walk that I have with God. And I cannot and I do not walk like the world does. You have to settle some of those very basic principles of this Christian life and walk. And the tragedy is today that so many in churches are not challenged with this. And how it must grieve the Holy Spirit, because we see the church in such a state today, neither hot nor cold. But these are all the signs that Jesus said we are to see and look for in these closing days that we're now living in. And this is why I'm calling this teaching today All the Way with Faith. You see, most sadly put limitations on faith. Why? Because they are aware of the trials that sort it out. Now, you either are in faith to believe that whatever trial you go through or have gone through is for a very good reason to deal with my faith. And this is where we have to be humble, we have to be honest before God and each other. Our trials so often are to get to our faith, so that we don't compromise with it. We don't deceive ourselves with it. Because I'm going to show you today how God has provided for us to be able to walk by faith and to be able to take all the limits of faith. We know this because we see right through the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, how God was working with all the saints with their faith. That is why we come together. We primarily come together not only for fellowship and to seek the Lord, but we come together because God needs to get to our faith. And we, all of us, have had areas of our faith that's been tested even this week. And this is why the Word of God washes, it purifies. This is why we say so often that faith comes by hearing, hearing, reading the Word. And these principles never change. Well, let's start off with Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, that is Israel. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. So, just clarifying very quickly what is being meant by this, that faith is required and that we need to mix faith with that which we hear. Why? Because it is our rest. And he describes this rest, the rest that our Lord, that God had when he created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested from his labours, his works. So that is telling us something supernatural happens in our life when we mix faith with that which we hear. We receive this rest, this peace that our Lord describes here, the rest that he had after creating. What does this mean? It means that you are at peace, even in the trials that you go through. Did you know that in our trials there is a place of rest and peace that you can experience, which is utterly supernatural? It bypasses all logic, all understanding, all feeling, all, you know, everything that we are subjected to in this life. There is something that takes over in the saint, and particularly in a trial of our faith. And here it is. It is that rest, that peace. What are we referring to? Because it is God's presence in you. That is what is happening. Jesus could never have gone to the cross fulfilling his Father's will unless he was filled with the Spirit. Yes, he was going through it physically, but what was anchoring Christ? It was the presence of his Father, the Spirit, that was the real force, the real energy, the real power that raised him from the dead. And that is what we also should experience. That is why it's all the way with faith, brothers and sisters. Every step of our salvation is by faith. Everything we do, we say, where we go, everything is by faith. And we have to get that one from the head to the heart. Let's remind ourselves why it's all the way by faith. Let's just go over some doctrinal things just to remind ourselves, to refresh ourselves, why we walk by faith and not by sight. And here are some of the reasons. God offers us his Son. There is the first reason. The gift of salvation. And what is the gift of salvation? It is our Father offering his Son to us. Not just once at the cross of Calvary. Yes, that was the finished, fulfilled work. But he continues right through the ages to offer his Son to us. The one who paid the price for our sin, our rebellion. We need to remind ourselves that also what has been offered to us is eternal salvation. Eternally saved from going to hell. We need to remind ourselves what has been offered to us is eternal forgiveness. Sin dealt with at the cross and cast away as far as the east is to the west. We need to remind ourselves that we've also been justified. That means you have been made right before the fall of Adam Eve. That has been restored. What God intended man to have. Let's remind ourselves also that in our salvation, eternal life. You will not taste of the second death, going to hell. Let's remind ourselves that God in this life has given us sonship, co-heirs with him. Walking in the same power and anointing that Christ did. Let's remind ourselves that we are partakers of his nature. So our Father offering us his Son means that we now partake of the Godhead, of his fullness we have received. Let's remind ourselves that we have been sanctified. That means that you have been separated unto holiness. Because without that you will not see God, for God is most holy. And therefore he has to sanctify us. This is all done on the basis of believing. And not only that, what he's done, but also cleansing. He's cleansing us, cleaning us. That's called our deliverance. Getting rid of unbelief, which is unclean in God's sight. Did you know that? When we don't believe, that is unclean. That's why it's sin. It says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please him. And then also in our salvation, he works in the heart so that we're not robots, but that we do it from the heart, from a right attitude and will. And then there's the deliverance that's taking place, even right now as we gather together listening to the word. And not only that, he's provided healing. By his stripes we were healed at Calvary. And not only healing, but we need to remind ourselves of protection. That he gives his angels charge over us. Psalm 91 and all the other promises. We need to remind ourselves that he has sealed us by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have a stamp on us which says sold. Can't buy it. Nobody else can buy you. God has brought you. And then we need to remind ourselves that we stand each day by the grace and mercy of God, when many times it would look as though we go completely under, but we don't. And then we need to remind ourselves of endurance that is in this life. He that endures to the end will be saved. And protection from the evil one. We need to remind ourselves that he says we have overcome the world. Whatever the world is trying to throw at us, and it's throwing a huge amount at the moment, trying to get us to compromise, to fear and everything, he says, I have overcome the world, which means you have, I have. That's why we're overcomers. We need to remind ourselves of his grace and his mercy, which means that he continues to work with us and doesn't give up on us. He's working with us to get us to the place to rest and to trust him by faith. That takes the grace and mercy of God. And finally, an entrance is made for you and I into heaven, into eternity, because he says, I've gone before and prepared the way for you. Oh gosh, and I'm sure you can add more to that list. Why is it we don't believe? Well, let's look at some other things. Let's look at some scriptures. What does it say in 2 Peter? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Now, just stop a minute and look what has been said here. These great and precious promises. This is why we make so much of the promises of God, and how we need to saturate our life, our confession, our being in these promises. It's called faith. For what reason? That through these you may be what? Partakers. So it's not just words on pages. He says you actually partake of this. It becomes a part of you. These promises become a part of your life. They attach themselves, if you like, to us. Why? Because of the divine nature that lives within us. And you cannot escape, you cannot separate the divine nature. For Christ is the Word made flesh to us, which we partake of. For what purpose? To escape the corruption that is in the world through lusts. This is our salvation. This is what saves us from being duped by the world, you see. And that is why we make so much of the promises of God, for that very purpose, because it stops us from being duped from the world, its lies, its ways. That is why, because the world, the powers of darkness, are always fighting against the Word of God and us hearing the Word of God. Because the powers of darkness know that faith comes by hearing the Word. And they don't want us in faith. They don't want us believing in the Word of God. The enemy wants you to believe him because he's a liar and a deceiver and a murderer. And so That's why we have to receive the new nature, a new creation, to be born again, to be filled with God's Spirit for this very purpose. Otherwise we fall victim. Man's going to believe in something because that's how he's made and created. The question is, what? What do we want to believe? That's the answer. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I love that verse. How that has been of comfort to me over the years. That we are kept by the power of God. And what is the power of God? We can't even begin to put it into words. When you're dealing with the power of God, you're dealing with eternity. You're dealing with uncreated eternal spirit. He always has been, always will be. There never was a time when he was not. You can't get your mind round verses like this, and yet this is what he says. It's the power of God preserves me. By what? Simply believing it. So that through my salvation, I'm ready to be revealed in the last time. God is going to reveal all of this for his glory. You and I are part of the revelation, which the next great event is going to be the manifestation of the sons of God. Romans 12, the man-child. To be revealed to this unbelieving world. That is what this is about. And you either know you have the unction of the Spirit that's working that within you, or not. I cannot tell you how many people I hear now are saying to me, things are not right anymore in the world. Something has happened. Something has changed. And it's not just because of this Chinese virus. It's something more. And I'm hearing them saying this. And they're only saying what I have been experiencing for the last 2 or 3 years. It's changed. Spiritually, over the earth, it's changed. And we know that the powers of darkness are rising up for a season. Because they know what is going to be revealed in the last time. The enemy is not stupid. You see, faith lays hold of the divine, mighty power of God that is provided. You see, he says it's there. We're kept by the power of God, but he says there's a condition to it. Through faith. And we also have to meet God halfway in believing. Because that is what the Lord was teaching Peter, to get out on the water and walk and meet him. And that is what he challenges us. Faith always provides the power of God in which to act our faith. Remember that. But you have to take that step. And often the first step is I choose to believe by faith. I am going to walk this by faith. I don't know how. I haven't got a clue. But I know that my step of faith, my settling it, I will be preserved and kept by the power of God. I cannot tell you, brothers and sisters, how many times I have said that and walk by that. I live by that right now, brothers and sisters. I too am going through a trial. And I will tell you what I'm going through. I've been waiting on God until the right time. But I've been going through a trial with my throat. And in the natural, I need to go to a specialist. The enemy is trying to stop me preaching. 6 weeks ago, it was becoming so painful to preach, to talk. None of you knew that, but God knew it, I knew it, and the devil knew it. But guess what? I keep going. I'm preserved, I'm kept by the power of God. And I've come through some of the deep trial of this. Yes, I was tempted to go to the doctor. Yes, my everything said you don't mess about with this. There is something serious, there's something going wrong. But I had to settle this. Either I am kept by the power of God or I'm not. Either I go that route if there's not the faith, or I stand by faith if there is the faith. Yes, I wept before God. Yes, I did everything I know. I said, if there's sin in my life still, if there's something that's still hindering, you love me enough to show me. Nothing. God brought me back. He says, are you going to trust me or not? And there's the peace. There's the rest. There's the faith. You see? God brings us to those places. All I know is my faith needs that. My faith needs to be challenged to whatever God sees, because the picture is always bigger and greater. And I've settled it with God that by his stripes, his 39 stripes that he bore for me and for all of us, I've settled it at the cross. Because either this works or it doesn't. So you see, brothers and sisters, the preachers go through it as well. Because if you don't go through it, what message really have you to preach? You see, we are coming to a place now in life where we're finding that we can no longer trust in the arm of the flesh anymore. It's changing, it's collapsing. And of course, this is why they want to bring in these digital passports. And of course, they're using the injections, the jabs, in which to do it. Because they've got this platform ready, and they now need to get all our digital ID. And we know what that is, and what that is for, and what it's going to be used by. And at the moment, in this country, it is at the moment put to one side. Why? Because of the prayers of the saints warring against this control, this witchcraft. And that is the mercy for people like us who trust the Lord. That is why I always say, keep in prayer, keep in spiritual warfare. Because the nature of it is that we mature, we come to that place where we trust God before the rapture happens. That is why I've said that we push back the powers of darkness until the church is taken away For what purpose? So that you and I come to that place of faith that God wants of us. That is why Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. And we really have to learn how to pray and what to pray on. We have to move away from prayers that are always centered around ourselves. My wants, my needs. We should be much matured from that now. That we pray on real issues that matter. And these are. So there we are. Faith lays hold of the mighty divine power of God that's provided for us. Has God made a mistake? Does he make a mistake, brothers and sisters? Well, let's just remind ourselves in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There you are. It is the gift of God given to you and I. For what? To believe. That's what it's for. That's why the Word of God is written for us, so that we believe. What does it say in John 20, verse 31? The Gospel of John. John 20 and verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So it's written in this book that these words are written that you may believe. This is why we have this book, the Bible, this preserved revelation of God. This book that you hold, that we are preaching from, is a miracle in itself. No book, particularly like this, can ever survive through the thousands of years. The powers of darkness would have made sure that every jot and tittle of this book would be destroyed, which he's tried. But it hasn't happened. Why? Because it is a preserved revelation. And the way you are saved, healed, delivered, is by this written word that he says that we believe upon. And when we believe upon this, we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. For what purpose? That you may have life in him. Our faith enables us to have life not in yourselves, not what you want to do, not working out your own life. It is life in him. Else it won't work. And this is why it doesn't work for a lot of people. They want to get healed, but they want to continue living their sinful lives. And sadly, a lot of Christians live that way. And it doesn't work. What did Jesus say often when he healed them? Go away and sin no more. You see, are you doubting? Are you battling in believing? If you are, there's always a reason. And this is where we have to bow our knees and inquire of God. I've had to do it in areas where I haven't been believing as I should, and still do. And then God highlights in that right time and way. That we get that deliverance, we get that change. Because once you know faith is present, you don't have to, you don't have to question it. You don't have to keep seeking God about it. You just know. The same as when you sit down in a chair, you know that those four legs are going to hold you. And so that is like faith. You're not questioning it. You believe. But there's still some areas where we're not quite in that place as we should be. And that is where we inquire of God. That is where we seek God about that. So that he will work that within us. And I know the healing, that's the big one. It's always the controversial one. It shouldn't be, but sadly it is. What does it say in Acts 15 and verse 9? Acts 15 and verse 9, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So there we are. Our faith, the teaching of faith, does what? Purify the heart. Why the heart? Because it is from the heart that you believe. It is in the heart that you have that rest that we read to you in Hebrews 4. That is why faith has got to drop that 18 inches from the head to the heart. Else you waver. And this is where we have to be honest and not make excuses. We have to be honest before God. I am wavering. I am not in the place of faith as I should be, or in this area. That is how you have to approach God. And that is sadly why some do not get healed or get delivered, whatever, because they're not honest. They make excuses. We have to be completely honest when the Holy Spirit convicts us. Against you, you only have I sinned. That is what David said. He made no excuses. And we do the same to God. When we're not in faith as we should be, it is you I am doing this to. Forgive me. Now, is our Father going to not hear that? Of course he will. When he brings us to that place. And it's like a huge load that is lifted off your shoulder. For what purpose? So that you can believe. You can have that rest, that peace in the heart. The word cleanses us so that we can believe from the heart. And this is where it starts to work. When we, you know, this is what the deeper life is about. The deeper life is for the purpose to seek God in these deeper areas. Babes don't do this so much. They're getting hold of the promises. They're seeing what God has provided and they run off with it and praise God. And I mean, you know, but it does catch up with you. We've all done it. We've all fallen flat on our face. Why? Because we're not seeking God as we should be. But he doesn't give up on us. Of course he doesn't. He works with us. His grace, his mercy, his patience. But the word of God cleanses you and I, brothers and sisters. This is our deliverance. This is God speaking to us. Why is it you've got so many in the house of God? I need to hear the voice of God. I wish God would speak to me. Oh, wow, can he make it any more plain then these pages of these promises and saints who walk with him, that is all there. Why is it we could be so stupid? But there you are, that's what the fall has done, isn't it? That is why he challenges us to have that simple, childlike faith, to simply trust him and just believe. We have to remember also, as it says in Ephesians 3, verse 17, that he dwells in our heart by faith. Let's just have a look at this in Ephesians. Turn to that now. Ephesians 3 and verse 17. You know this well because we're studying this at the moment. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. And so it goes on. But what is it it's saying here? It says Christ dwells in our hearts. What? By faith. Believing. Believing is the greater knowledge and understanding. It's what you're believing in. We still believe too much of the world, technology, education, and all these things that the world looks to and puts its trust in. We're not to look to that. This is what we're to look to, God's word. And he says that's how he dwells in your heart, by faith, simply believing these promises. That's God's presence in Christ to us through his word. God presents himself, Almighty God, to us through his word as we believe upon his word. And so when we lay hold of his word and we believe on it, we begin to experience him as if he's visible and present with us. That's why we don't need to visibly see Jesus, because he's in his word. His presence is in the word that you read and that you hear. And that is where faith comes. Oh, well, I will be healed if the Lord appeared to me and I can just touch the hem of his garment. No, you won't. You're healed on the basis of his word, his promises, and everything else. Whatever provision is needed in your life, you have it in Jesus' name. Whatever the powers of darkness are threatening you with, you have that protection. You have that provision. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And this is why it has to be all the way with faith. You have to settle that. That is part of discipleship. Don't think that you can cut corners by not walking all the way with faith. You can't. And don't think that you can get away with it. Israel thought she could get away with it. And as a result, she had to spend 40 years in the wilderness because she wasn't mixing faith with what she heard. You've got to mix faith with this title that we're talking about today, all the way with God. That is God's word. Now you need to mix faith with that which you're hearing. Because if not, it keeps coming up, and it'll keep coming up until finally it drops from the head to the heart. Whereas Israel should have got through the wilderness in about a couple of weeks, it took her 40 years, and they perished. Because the scriptures tell us she didn't mix faith with that which she heard. And you know why? Because her eyes were looking to the world and to other nations around them, and they wanted to be like other nations, and that's why they demanded a king. And so God gave them Saul, nothing but trouble. And we do that still the same today in the house of God. We don't want to look different. We don't want to appear as God's peculiar treasure. But God has a way of working with us. He has a way of getting our attention. And boy, is he getting our attention. Is he not getting the world's attention now? I heard recently now there are people now beginning to turn to God. I thought, praise the Lord, we're beginning to see the end time harvest. This is God's mercy. Why? Because they're saying they don't trust governments anymore. They're fed up with the lies. They're fed up with seeing the tyranny, control that's happening. God knows how to do this. He is setting the scene for the last day, latter rain outpouring. But for us to experience that, it has to be all the way with faith. Because, as I read in the scriptures, God is about soon to manifest to groaning creation the sons and daughters of God. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. Oh, we thank you, you do not give up on us. Your patience, your love, your mercy is with us day and night, every second and moment of the day. And whatever trials we meet, Father, we know they are tailor-made. We know that you have said it is all the way with faith. And thank you, Lord, because you never make a mistake. May we lay hold of this word we've heard today. Father, may this word drop from the head to the heart. May we reveal the fruit of the Spirit of this word, because you said by the fruit you will know them. May this also become reality to us. And where we are not yet experiencing that rest, that peace, Lord, grant us, help us to enter into that. Because, Lord, the promised land is there. The land is good. It is fruitful. It is a land of blessing and peace. And that land is you.
Constancy, follow the master.